cut the beginning of a script, of a stage play, or of a movie, there's usually a list of the characters, the cast of characters, we call it. And we can make a list like this for today's first reading. There's God, there's Adam, there's Eve, and there's the serpent. It's only four characters in the first reading. Angios, si Adan, si Eva, ang Ahas. We can make a similar list for today's gospel. There are more people in the gospel. There's Jesus, there's the crowds, there's the scribes, there's his mother and relatives, and then there's Satan. There are more people, but only two of them are mentioned by name in the gospel, Jesus and Satan. And Satan is given some extra titles, Beelzebul, the prince of demons, and Jesus refers to him as the strong man. Since God and Satan show up in both the first reading and the gospel, I think we can take this as an opportunity to reflect on the battle between them, the spiritual warfare. Now, a funny thing happens whenever I bring up this topic. If I start by identifying some evil in the world, if I mention drug addiction or corruption or child abuse or pornography or poverty or something, people will immediately say, oh yes, that's evil. That's evil. Masama talaga. That's wicked, terrible, bad things. Because it's so obvious. But if I start with a mention of Satan, some people will say, Satan, come on. I mean, you're not real. I'm not talking about a real person. It's just a myth, just a symbol, just a kind of personification of perceived negative phenomena. So people have no problem identifying evil, but they're hesitant to attribute evil events or evil behavior to an evil spirit or to Satan. The Bible has no such hesitation. The Bible is very clear that evil spirits exist, that Satan exists. In the Old Testament, it's true, especially in the reading we just heard, Satan is represented by a symbolic figure, the serpent, the snake. That's what we saw in the reading. And it's okay for us to say, well, yeah, there's no such thing as a talking snake. And that's symbolic language. That's okay to say that. But it's foolish for us to say that the talking snake in the book of Genesis doesn't represent anything real. It's obvious from the story that we're dealing with a clever, deceptive, evil enemy of the human race who is still at work today, to this very day. And where do we think all the evils come from in the world? Where do they come from? If we remove Satan from the cast of characters, well, the script no longer makes any sense. What's the cause of all this? How could it be this bad if there's not someone making it bad? Okay, so that's where we are. Now, in the Gospels, Jesus spends a large percentage of his public ministry casting out evil spirits. And in today's reading, that's what sets the stage for the controversy. No one questions that he has the power to cast out evil spirits. It's so obvious that's what he's doing. The question is, where did he get this power from? And in today's reading, some are accusing him of being an agent of Satan, of being possessed, or of getting evil power from an evil source, from Beelzebul, evil power. Well, Jesus addresses this accusation by asking if it makes any sense at all. Does it make any sense for Satan to drive out Satan? No, that's simple. That's a simple one. We could put this in terms of the wars that are tragically unfolding before our eyes on the world stage. I'm thinking, of course, primarily about the war in Ukraine and the war in Gaza. If a huge missile explodes in Kiev, in the capital of Ukraine, does anybody say, oh, it's just the Ukrainians blowing themselves up? No, it's obviously a Russian attack. It's so obvious, you wouldn't even question it. When Hamas launched that violent raid in Israel back on October 7th, by the way, that was the Feast of Our Lady of the Most Holy Rosary. When they did that, did anybody say, oh, those are the Israelis just attacking themselves? No. So obvious. And that's Jesus' point, right? Satan does not make war against himself. No one does, because anyone who does that, well, that kingdom automatically collapses. Now, one disadvantage in bringing up these human wars that are in our daily news is that, well, they can seem far away, for one thing, and they're very complicated. And much of our concern is, what about the innocent victims? What about the children? What about the elderly? What about the wounded? Those who are caught in the middle, those who have no choice. War has surrounded them. And what can they do about it? So that's our concern. And we might say, well, I'm not sure what to think about that. I'm going to remain neutral. I'm going to be uninvolved. And I wish there were no war at all. I mean, can't we just stop this madness? So that's how we might think about human wars. But when it comes to the spiritual warfare, which is really our topic right now, this spiritual warfare, which is also going on every day, maybe not as obvious in the news, but we cannot say, I'll just remain neutral, or I'm not sure what to make of it, or I'm not involved. We cannot say, I wish there were no war. There is a war. That's the way it is. And we must take one side or another. Good or evil? Jesus or Satan? Whose side are you on? That's the question. Every time we face a moral decision, every time we face a temptation, what will we choose? Whose side will we choose? There's no innocent bystanders in the spiritual war. Everyone with a conscience is a soldier. Every human heart is a battlefield in this war. Well, we saw what happened in the Garden of Eden, going back again to the story from our first reading, the story of our first parents. God says, or asks the man, where are you? Saan ka naroon? In asking, where are you? Nasaan ka? He's not asking the man about his physical location. He's in the garden. Both God and the man know exactly where he is, even though the man's hiding. Can't hide from God. No. The question is, where are you in the spiritual warfare? Whose side are you on, Adam? Kaninong pani ka naroon? The fact is, the man and the woman have already chosen to follow the suggestion of the serpent, and they are already suffering the consequences of their evil decision. Fear, that's why he's hiding. Vulnerability, feel naked. They're hiding, they're separated from God, they're separated from each other, they're suspicious, they're blaming each other. All the terrible effects of being on the wrong side. Terrible effects of sin, of evil, of Satan. So let's get this straight about Satan. This should be very clear to us. He's a liar. He's a tempter. He's a deceiver. He's a divider. He's the real enemy in the spiritual battle. That should be clear. He's the real enemy, not the man, not the woman, not any man, not any woman, not any country. Satan will always lie. He will always try to make evil look good and good look evil. And we simply have to be wise enough to see through his lies with God's help. We don't have to buy everything that's on sale. We don't have to accept everything we're told by a liar. And we're not alone in the battle, thank God. Jesus speaks here when he starts to explain to the people that it's not Satan opposing Satan. He says, this is what he's doing, what Jesus is doing, is he's tying up the strong man and plundering his house. That's the Lord's description of his own saving mission. He's tying up the strong man. He's defeating Satan. He's chaining him up. Jesus is a savior. He's a merciful savior. So even if we have, and all of us have, bought into Satan's lies countless times, even if we have, and even though we have chosen evil, even though we have done evil things, even though we have acted as evil people, there's still great hope for us because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's come to overcome the strong man, to tie him up and plunder his house, meaning take what Satan was claiming as his own and recover it. That's us. But the story takes an amazing turn here, and I just want to add this as a final point. I mentioned the cast of characters, and that the cast of characters includes Jesus' own mother and his relatives. They show up in this gospel. And we might be tempted to say, well, yeah, the Blessed Virgin Mary, well, she has a big advantage when it comes to the spiritual warfare. I mean, she's part of the family. She's on the winning side already. And that's true, that's true. She's the woman who crushes the head of the serpent. That's the Blessed Virgin Mary. But look at what happens here. Once Jesus clears up the confusion about himself and Satan, once he shows that it's not Satan working against himself, but it's rather Jesus overpowering Satan, then Jesus gives us an opening, and this is so unexpected. In fact, it's unimaginable, but this is what he says. He says that he's told his mother and his brothers are there. And then he says, who are my brother? Who are my mother and my brothers? Who are my mother and my brothers? Sino ang aking ina at mga kapatid? What kind of a question is that? Can you tell that this is not an ordinary question? Nobody asks, who's my mother? It's so obvious. I mean, they're standing right out there. They're standing right outside the house. No, he's giving us an opportunity to see another kind of family, another level of relationship with him that is not obvious to us, and we might not even think of it. He gives us an opportunity not only to be on God's side in this war, but to be included in his own family. How? By doing the will of God. This is extraordinary. He says, whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Sino ba tumatalima sa kalooban ng Diyos ay siya kong ina at mga kapatid. And that's it. It's like we're suddenly promoted in the spiritual battle. We're more than soldiers. We're members of the family, members of the family of God, when we do the will of God, when we do the will of our Father in heaven. Okay, so look at the cast of characters. We look at the cast of characters, and we realize we're actually given a choice about our role, about our identity, about who we will be in this list of characters. We're given a choice. So let's make the right choice here. Let's make the choice right now and every day to do the will of God. To do the will of God. And to be included in the family of Jesus Christ, our merciful Savior.